Hello and welcome to the third episode of Black Cat Astronomy. I'm producing this podcast on a computer, and this computer contains a small but significant amount of heavy metals, such as palladium, platinum, or gold. And my computer is in no way special. You can find those heavy elements in most any modern-day electronic device, in the catalysators of cars, even in dental fillings. The list goes on and on. Look around you, the world is full of those things. This begs the question, how can we afford that? How can there be enough of those heavy metals to do all this? To understand the question, we need to take a brief look at where chemical elements come from in general. Chemical elements are characterized by the number of protons in their nucleus. Hydrogen, the lightest of elements, contains one proton. Helium, the second lightest element, contains two protons. And so on. About 1 millisecond after the Big Bang, the universe had cooled to a few trillion Kelvin and quarks came together to form protons and neutrons. For every neutron, about 7 protons formed. Nearly all the neutrons combined with protons, and nearly all those proton-neutron pairs combined to form helium. The leftover protons became the nuclei of hydrogen atoms. By the time the universe was about 3 minutes old, the process was more or less complete. The universe was populated with 75% hydrogen, 25% helium, and tiny trace amounts of lithium. No heavier elements were produced. To get those heavier elements, we have to wait about 200 million years for the first stars to form. In the core of a star like our Sun, the temperature and pressure are high enough to force the hydrogen from the first millisecond of the Big Bang together to form helium and release a lot of energy in the process. We now have gravity pulling inwards, causing the star to collapse, and we have nuclear fusion in the star's core, pushing outwards, causing the star to expand. In our Sun, those forces are perfectly balanced, so that our Sun stays the same size. When a star runs out of hydrogen to fuse, the star experiences its first energy crisis. The nuclear fusion of hydrogen to helium comes to a halt, gravity wins, and the star begins to fall in on itself. If the star is big enough, this gravitational collapse raises temperature and pressure in the core high enough that the helium begins to fuse with itself and the leftover hydrogen to form heavy elements, such as oxygen. This process of energy crisis, gravitational collapse, and new fusion reaction can repeat a couple of times, all the way up to producing iron. The astronomer and science communicator Carl Sagan famously said, "The nitrogen in our DNA, the calcium in our teeth, the iron in our blood, the carbon in our apple pies were made in the interiors of collapsing stars. We are made of star stuff." Or if you are like me and take a less romantic approach, you could also say we are all walking piles of nuclear waste. However, fusing lighter elements to heavier ones ends with iron. If you fuse elements lighter than iron, you release energy, meaning you can get stable stars. Creating elements heavier than iron consumes energy, and that means you can no longer reach an equilibrium where the stars can be stable. And iron is quite a long way away from the gold in my computer. Iron has 26 protons, gold has 79. That is a long way to go. How can we get anything heavier than iron? Imagine a massive star that has run through the various fusion steps to arrive at an iron core. Without the energy released from nuclear fusion in its core, this star begins to collapse under its own mass. Temperature and pressure rise, and slowly, single neutrons are added to nuclei. The elements remain the same, they now just have one more neutron. Add enough neutrons, and the atom becomes unstable. This unstable nucleus can decay radioactively, emitting an electron and an antineutrino, while at the same time turning one neutron in the core into one proton. Hooray, we moved one step up in the periodic table. This process is called the S process. S for slow, because it is slow compared to the beta decay times of the heavy nuclei. This way, over thousands of years, heavier elements, up to and including lead, are created. We do get some gold this way, but what we get is simply not enough. We have far more gold in our solar system than can be explained by the S process. And the S process does not create any of the really heavy stuff we find on Earth, like uranium. To get that, we need something even more dramatic. We need a much more rapid process. We need some kind of process that forces neutrons into the nuclei faster than they decay in the beta decay. Something that happens in a second. And we need neutron densities of a trillion trillion neutrons per cubic centimeter. Such an event could create very neutron-rich elements that then quickly decay into the heavy elements we are interested in. But what could possibly deliver those neutron densities along with the required energies? Let's look at a massive star that has used up its fuel for nuclear fusion. In such a star, we now have an iron core. Gravity keeps pulling inwards and the core is compressed into a smaller and smaller ball. But you can't force fermions, those are the particles that make up normal matter, infinitely close together. Quantum mechanics do not allow this. So what happens is that electrons and protons are forced together to form neutrons. You get a sphere made mostly of tightly compressed neutrons with a diameter of 10 to 20 kilometers and a mass of up to 2.8 times the mass of our Sun. Imagine that, an object 2.8 times the mass of our Sun, but the size of a medium-sized city. We call that a neutron star. As with the death of every star, as the core collapses, much of the outer layers get ejected and seed the cosmos with the elements formed during the star's lifetime. To get a neutron star, you have to start with the star the right size. If the star is too big, the collapse continues until you end up with a black hole. If the star is too small, the force of gravity is not strong enough to form a neutron star. It is very common for stars to form in pairs. A lot of the stars you see in the night sky are actually pairs of stars orbiting each other. And if two stars of the right size orbit each other, it is possible that both of them turn into a neutron star at the end of their life, and you end up with a pair of neutron stars orbiting each other. But not forever. General relativity predicts that two massive objects as compact as neutron stars orbiting each other will cause ripples in space-time. And those ripples, those gravitational waves, carry energy away from the two orbiting neutron stars. This energy loss means that sooner or later the two neutron stars will fall into each other and form a black hole. What we are interested in is what happens right before that. We have two massive, super dense neutron stars crashing into each other with unimaginable force. And there it is. All the neutron-rich isotopes get created extremely quickly, and then quickly decay into all the heavy elements we have been talking about. We call this the R process. R for rapid. All this happens in a very powerful explosion, and this explosion ejects the new formed elements from the system. As the neutron stars finally merge to form a black hole, this ejector forms clouds enriched in platinum, gold, uranium, and all the other heavy elements drifting through our galaxy. Clouds that can give birth to new stars and planetary systems. The rapid neutron capture, R process, is what we think is responsible for the production of half the heavy elements found on the periodic table above iron, and all the heavy elements above bismuth. Our own Sun, along with its planets, moons, asteroids, comets, and all the other stuff, formed in a cloud of gas and dust, enriched in heavy elements by the leftovers of two neutron stars merging about 80 million years before the formation of our solar system and about 1,000 light years away from its birthplace. In other words, the chemical elements in our solar system are the result of heavier and heavier elements created by a number of diverse and fascinating astrophysical processes over the time of roughly 9 billion years. Not only do we need stars to form, produce heavy elements, and seed the cosmos with those elements for you to have calcium in your teeth or nitrogen in your DNA, we also need a pair of two stars orbiting each other, both exactly the right size, to form neutron stars, and then to merge to give us the heavier stuff. Man, the universe really put in a lot of work just so that you can use a smartphone containing gold to listen to this podcast. Until the next episode, thank you very much for listening. Ad Astra.